The comedian John Oliver spends a lot of time watching cable TV news, and he has an opinion about the coverage.
If you honestly think that people would rather see you cover as close to nothing as possible than something that might be interesting, then you hate your viewers.
John Oliver made a name for himself as a correspondent for The Daily Show on Comedy Central. He spent his time lampooning the media and the politicians they cover. Now, as sometimes happens with an actual star correspondent, John Oliver got his own show. It's called Last Week Tonight. And as he prepares for the premiere on Sunday night on HBO, Oliver took our questions on doing fake news. When you were filling in for Jon Stewart, say, some months ago on The
Right.
Daily Show, when you're looking at the camera, do you have in your head who you're talking to?
No, that is a good question. No, you don't really have it, especially because if you really thought about it, some of the people you're talking to are probably asleep on their couch, so... in which case, you're just concerned about talking too loudly and waking them up. No, really, you're just trying to kind of emotionally go through the story that you have emotionally gone through in writing. So, you know, if it's a difficult story, then, you know, the whole process of writing is to try and come to some kind of catharsis to make it easier to cope with. And so you just need to go through that again, really, that process again in performing it.
Okay, emotionally, going through the story. Let's talk about that, because
okay.
When I watch The Daily Show, when I watch, when I have watched you on The Daily Show, you get angry a lot. And I sense that often it's not acting.
Yeah, I think if there's real anger, it's provoked. No, because your anger cannot be your default setting, because it's draining to perform and it's draining to watch. But there are some times when what you're talking about is so frustrating that the whole day has been a process of trying to channel that anger into something funny.
I was just watching a clip of you reporting that the Supreme Court, as it did last year, overturned a portion of the Voting Rights Act.
Basically, the key part of the Voting Rights Act that they removed was the one that applied strict scrutiny to states with a previous history of racial discrimination. Those states, of course, being Whitesylvania, Palifornia, Caucasicut, Kansas, and Mississippi.
You start out joking, and then you get more and more pointed, and then you start throwing out facts.
When does the Justice Department ever need to protect minority voters by invoking Section 5? And the answer is, you know, basically never. If basically never means, and this is true, 74 times since the year 2000.
It's clear that you just really disagree with that decision.
I did. I think surely most people did. That particular decision was pretty horrifying, and the consequences of it were felt immediately. I think it was Texas. I think they may have rolled back some of the laws the next morning.
There were very rapid efforts to apply voter ID laws that had been blocked in the past.
Yeah, it was as quick a series of consequences as you should. It was almost like they were on the starting blocks.
Now, as someone who did not come from the United States, is it ever a little bit strange to be mocking the United States?
You
ever feel self-conscious about that?
I don't think so. I mean, I've lived here for nearly 8 years now, and I love it here. And I've married an American, so thank you very much. And also, I think sometimes it helps to have a slight outsider's voice in comedy, whatever that voice is. And as it happens, my voice sounds like I don't belong here, or at least I haven't belonged here post 1770.
Do you think you could tell a bad joke, but with your accent, and it'll be funny because it's a British accent?
Well, let's hope so, because that's basically been my business model for a decade.
So if the accent went away, if you worked to get rid of the accent...
Yes. I'm telling you, the kryptonite is, if the jokes I tell, if you see them written down, that is no good. I am audio-related.
But that,
I am exposed in script form.
I think that's true of a lot of comedy. It's true, actually, a lot of radio interviews, because I see the transcripts of some of our radio interviews, and often the people do not make any sense.
Right.
But if you listen, you know what they meant.
That's true of everything. Congressional investigations may seem futile. You have not seen futility until you've read transcripts of those investigations. That's when you realize the low bar of human communication, which is being said on a daily basis.
Yeah, but the difference there is if you watched the hearing, it still is futile. It doesn't get any better.
It's even worse. It's almost a poem when written down, a poem towards futility.
Tell me one other thing. You described yourself as having a bit of an outsider's perspective and said that that can be useful as a comedian. It can also be useful as a journalist, by the way.
It would be if journalists were more outsiders than they were. But
there is a
cosiness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you see something like the warmth of response of jokes at the White House Correspondents' Dinner is everyone is so comfortable being in the same room as people that they are supposed to be the check and balance on. If the system worked right, you would think that would be the most excruciatingly awkward room to be in. And it's pretty comfy. And that comfort is a problem, I think.
So if they invited you to...
Oh, definitely. Of course.
After
of course,
saying it's a ridiculous exercise,
yeah,
that it's very wrong.
Of course, because as a comedian, you're attracted to sometimes doing the things that are the most difficult. That room is not a good room for comedy. That is where jokes go to die. But the challenge, when you see of something like the speech that Stephen Colbert gave when he did it, it's a masterclass in comedy.
So give us a little more of your outsider's perspective as someone who did not grow up here, who has come to this country and has come to know it pretty well. Are there things that you notice that you think many Americans who were born here still do not quite notice?
I worry a little bit about America's engagement with its wars. You know, mm-hmm. I have a slightly closer perspective on this because I married an Iraq war veteran, and this does not feel like a country at war. And I went to Afghanistan to do a USO tour for a couple of weeks, and it is...
Wait a minute, you weren't in front of a blue screen.
No, I actually did jokes to them.
Okay.
Yeah. And it was a fantastic experience, but the disconnect between America and what we are asking young Americans to do is incredible. I honestly think if you ask people in this country whether we were at war, lots of them would forget.
Well, John Oliver, it's been a pleasure talking with you. Good luck on the program.
You too. Thank you very much, Steve.
John Oliver's HBO show, Last Week Tonight, debuts on Sunday night. It's Morning Edition from NPR News. News every day. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm David Greene.